T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Lionel Richie is your artist of the day. Good afternoon. Hello. Good to be with you. It's good to be 6 feet up, not 6 feet under. I'll tell you right now.
5'11".
Beg your pardon?
5'11". They've done studies. Every man says they're 6 foot and they're not.
Well, first of all, I was 6 feet tall. No, I was.
Are you old man shrinking?
Yes.
I'm
shut
old
up.
Man shrinking.
Shut up.
Hey, I have been 5 foot nothing my whole life. No. So pardon me if I find it a little bit funny that you're losing an inch.
You don't have anywhere, you don't have any room to go down. Also, phrasing.
You double down on that phrasing then?
Yes.
So a couple years ago, and I, ever since like college or whatever, I'd been 6 feet tall, literally exactly 6 feet tall. I would show you my doctor's records if I could. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then,
you don't think you rounded up a little bit, do you?
Me?
Yeah.
No, Dana, they take the measurements. Okay. I don't take the measurement. So for years, I was 6 feet tall, literally 6.0.
Okay.
Okay. And then remember I had that pleurisy thing about 3 months ago
or whatever? You thought you were dying and it was nothing?
Oh, my God. Anybody who's ever had pleurisy is screaming right now at you. It feels like a heart attack. Anyway, I digress.
It sounds like something you die of in Oregon Trail.
Can we focus, guys? Yes. Seriously. I mean, we're already off the rail.
Okay, fine.
Okay. So I have pleurisy but don't know that I have pleurisy yet. So I go to the doctor, and, you know, they take your weight, and you're like, oh, my God, I'm fat. And then they take your height, and you have to take your shoes off, of course. Yeah. And she goes, okay, all right, you can step back. And I look at what she's writing down. She writes 5'11".
Okay.
I go, wait. What do you mean 5'11"? I'm 6 feet. She goes, well... And she goes back, looks through the chart, you know, because I've been going to the same doctor for like 20 years. She goes, well, Mr. Parks, you were 6 feet tall, and now you're 5'11". I go, am I shrinking? Shut up. I said, am I shrinking?
Yeah.
And she goes, this is not uncommon for men your age.
Oh, for men... Okay,
your age.
For men your age isn't quite as bad for men at your advanced age.
True. But I go, men my age?
What does that mean?
She goes, well, once you get into your 40s, it's not uncommon for men to start slowly shrinking. And I go, is this a joke?
I want to show you a photo that so perfectly encapsulates the problems I have in my life. And this is why I don't feel bad for you. And we'll post the photo because
how
it
says... How
tall
are you? 5'4"?
Five, no. God, no. I'm like 5'1"-ish, maybe 2.
Like midget status?
So some friends asked me to MC this event with the German prison reform guy, Axel Brimley. You remember this a couple months ago, right?
Yeah, he was fantastic.
And they said, what do you need? And we talked about microphones. We talked about the setup. The lighting was amazing. They had 2 seats up there on stage for me and Mr. Brimley as I moderated an interview for 1 hour and like 15 minutes. What do you notice about that photo that would suggest I am not crying a river for you.
You can't extend your feet past the seat bottom?
My feet don't touch the ground. My feet will in this photo with this world-renowned expert on prison reform.
You can't even bend your knees.
My feet are shooting straight out like I am 6 years old at the little kids' table at Thanksgiving.
Now, this is not one of those, you know, stool height type
we're
things.
We're not on stool height chairs.
You're
we're
on actual chairs.
What I would call wingbacks.
A comfy wingback leather chair.
Leather wingbacks.
Well, there's no wing, but yeah.
And my feet are jutting straight out.
Because her feet, her knees don't extend past the bottom of the cushion.
Right. So they then turn around and use that photo on all of their promotional items.
His clearly do.
My girlfriends were like, the next time they ask you what accommodations do you need to say, chair where my feet touch the ground. Now, I don't know what that means. I'm not one of those people like, leave me only red M&Ms in a bowl. But I would like to have a chair where my feet touch the ground. And those aren't even tall chairs. But yeah. I look ridiculous.
Put that in your event writer.
Yeah, these are the problems that you don't think about at 6 foot-ish.
Somebody writes in, Scott, look on the bright side. By shrinking, you're now less of a D-bag.
Listeners no. with material.
You are, you're just more compact. You're more potent.
Oh, man. So anyway, yeah. At 48, apparently you start to shrink.
Well, then I'm really going to have a problem because I've already lost an inch.
Already?
Yeah.
And you're 36?
36, yeah. I used to be 6'2". I'm now 6'1".
Hmm. What are you, Sam Stevie? You're like 6'4", something crazy?
6'5".
I am 6'5".
Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, that's only when I stand up straight, though. I probably walk around 6'3", because I slouch constantly.
Do you slouch because you were tall and you didn't want to be that tall when you were growing up or something? Or do you just slouch because you slouch?
I do kind of feel weird looking down on everybody when I stand up straight, and yeah. I think that might be part of it. But I just slouch
now. We look down
all
on you.
Time.
Yeah, we yeah, all look. No, I'm kidding.
He also he also gets tired of whacking his head when he stands up straight.
See, I don't look at it like that, Sam, because I look up at everyone. I look up at everyone. This actually came up today. I can't reach anything in my closet. And we had a client come over and look in our closet, and I can't reach anything. And I'm going on this complete rant about this closet. And Chris walks in, and I go, see, he didn't even know about this because he's 6 foot whatever, and he can reach everything in here. When I try to go reach something, I can't reach anything.
Why do you put it up so high?
Well, why did they build it that way?
Well, why don't you put your stuff down low and he puts his stuff up high?
I don't want my stuff down low.
Well, at least down low you can reach it, weirdo.
This is why the grass is always greener on the other side. Short people will say those kinds of things drive them crazy, and tall people will say, I never thought about that.
Well, short people never get asked to grab something off the top shelf in the grocery store. That is a for certain.
No, but they do get asked to get something off the bottom shelf.
Sometimes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. 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 5767798. Will Starrett, Sam Stevie the Third, Dana Wright. I'm Scott Parks on KMBC. Hey, if you're on the road today, be careful. I-35 northbound in Johnson County is shut down at 87th Street. Will, what's going on over there?
There was a multi-vehicle chain reaction crash that happened earlier today. Killed one person, two others hurt. The northbound lanes at 35 are expected to stay closed, as KHP is saying, several hours. Not sure exactly how much longer that's expected to be, but
well, we just got an email that said maybe through rush hour tonight.
That's entirely possible.
And Will, is that so it is horrifying that there was a loss of life in this wreck. That is unusual to be shut down for this long, even if there is a death in an accident. They were talking about this on middays when I was in my car.
Sure.
So we're talking the possibility that that stretch is shut down 6 hours, 8 hours?
I don't know for certain what all was involved. I do know that there was a semi truck that was on the shoulder, and sometimes when a semi gets hit, there are, you know, further things that are involved, hazmat cleanup and things like that, that can also run the clock up. But yes, this could end up being a pretty sizable delay as a result of this crash today.
All right, man.
I-35 at 87th Street in the northbound lanes. Is
yes,
that right?
Northbound lanes. Okay. And of course, we'll continue to keep you posted inside traffic and weather together.
Thank you so much.
Story here from Oakville, Missouri, from Fox 4. So you know it's true. School officials are investigating a recent classroom assignment at a Missouri elementary school after fifth graders were asked to consider what they would charge.
Keep going.
For slaves during a social studies class. The assignment was given at Blades Elementary School in the St. Louis suburb of Melville,
yeah.
Okay. Quoting here from the assignment. You own a plantation or a farm, and therefore you need more workers. You begin to get involved in the slave trade industry and have slaves work on your farm. Your product to trade is slaves. It then prompts students to set a price for a slave and advises these could be worth a lot. A picture of the troubling portion of the assignment was posted on Facebook. The rest of the assignment focuses on trading other commodities like grains, lumber, turpentine, fish, humans. On Monday, Principal Jeremy Booker sent out a letter to families at Blades Elementary. He called the assignment culturally insensitive and said the teacher did apologize. Quoting here from the letter to parents. Dear Blades families, this weekend I became aware of an assignment that was provided to fifth grade students in social studies. The assignment, which was completed during class, attempted to address market practices. As part of both the Missouri Learning Standards.
Are they trying to justify this?
As part of both the Missouri Learning Standards for fifth grade social studies and the fifth grade Melville School District curriculum, students were learning about having goods, needing goods, and obtaining goods, and how that influenced early settlement in America. Some students who participated in this assignment were prompted to consider how plantation owners traded for goods and slaves. The assignment was culturally insensitive. I appreciate the parents who notified me of this assignment. I met with the teacher. Yep, sorry. Somebody jump in there. I met with the teacher this morning to discuss the purpose of the assignment, the teacher's interpretation of our standards, and the impact the activity could have on students. The teacher has expressed significant remorse. Sincerely, Dr. Jeremy Booker, principal.
So I looked at this assignment because as part of the story, one of the stories that I read about this overnight, there are several scenarios, if you will, about the open marketplace and how the children can buy and sell goods.
Or people.
Or people. I don't know if we'll have time.
I don't know.
I met with the teacher to discuss her interpretation of the assignment.
Mm-hmm. She has expressed significant remorse.
My jaw hit the floor when I saw this.
So bad. It's so bad.
Do we know where the assignment originated? And I'm not justifying anything that happened here. So my question is, did the teacher print this off out of a teacher's book, or did she come up with the scenarios herself or himself? I would love to know this.
Here's what the play that's going on in my head right now.
Yeah.
Can you imagine like white boy Tommy in class sitting next to black child Jimmy?
Yeah.
And the teacher's up there going, hey, Tommy, what would you sell Jimmy for? He's a young, strapping black kid. He's probably got a good 50, 60, 70 years worth of production in him.
Well, did you see one of the kids? I mean, the teacher said this is your assignment, and it shows from one of the moms who posted. Her name's Lee
Hart. Jimmy's got to be worth a good $2,000.
It says, set your price for a slave. And in the blank, the child wrote $3 for two slaves and then crossed out the three and wrote five. You may trade for any items you like. Here's another example. You live in Connecticut. You grow fruit trees. Your products to trade are apples and tomatoes. You live in the Connecticut River Valley. You grow grain there. Your product to trade is grain. And then this one, you own a plantation or farm and you need workers. You begin to get involved in the slave trade. Who looks at that and thinks this is a good idea?
Someone who is a ardent supporter, I guess, of the whole hands-on learning, the learn-by-experience type deal, I'm guessing?
Here's why it's important to know where this originated. And I've used this example several years ago. My youngest son was in first grade, I think it was. And they were supposed to show, you know, on the left there would be a photo of an item, and one of the items was a handgun. And on the right, they were supposed to fill in the three blanks, G-U-N. That was clearly something that was Xeroxed off from a book from 1974 because one of the images was legs and it was a woman's crossed legs. And I did say to the teacher, you might want to update the old assignment book. Like I'm there, a couple of these things I was like, oh, yep, that's a gun. I'm curious if this is printed in some manual somewhere.
From what, 1940?
Yeah, that they then printed off and handed out to the kids. And not that I'm excusing that the teacher handed it out.
Right, I understand.
Or did the teacher come up with these examples and think, oh, my God, I'm going to throw in slave trade because that's going to go over
before
well.
Before 1940, from 1860.
Right.
Timmy, let's sell John. What would you sell him for? $2? $50?
Two for five.
Back to the 80s. Good to have you with us, everybody. Story here out of Atlanta. Where the hell did I put my glasses? This print is too small. 'Tis the season where everything is picture perfect. But in photographer Jeff Rothman's studio, a white Christmas often turns blue. Quoting here from Rothman, we have parents coming here hoping their kids will cry. They leave disappointed if their kids do not. Turns out that crying kids make for hilarious holiday photos. Quoting from Rothman again, the kids are going to cry no matter what. It's just that we kind of accentuate that. Rothman was floored that parents wanted their kids to cry. He had 7,000 photo shoots available over 6 weeks, and they sold out in 10 minutes. They're candid Christmas photos, and the kids are themselves. It's realistic, said one parent. Santa meets three new crying kids every 10 minutes. He admits when the kids cry, it tugs at his heart, but within seconds, all is calm and all is bright. Quoting here from Rothman again, when they get older and their kids get older, they can go and sit around, you know, at Christmas and share those photos and laugh at it.
Okay, get in here because I want to talk about this. We raise our children to do a few things in life and not do a few things in life when they are young. And one of the not things to do in life, the big one that falls in the no-no category, is that you don't talk to strangers, you don't sit on strange men's laps, you don't have to show affection with anyone that you don't want to show affection to. Your body, your rules. Except when it comes to the mall Santa.
Or Easter Bunny.
And then we are going to shove that kid up there on that stranger's lap. I'm telling you, I'm sure if you looked, psychologists have weighed in on this. And I am sure they will tell you it is a horrible thing to ask your kids to do. Because what's implied is we stood in this line, we paid money, and you're going to go up there. And do you remember that kind of fear, kind of a bit of fear when you were in that line and it was almost your turn? It was excitement, but it was also fear. And I have a photo on my refrigerator, and I just told my daughter, she's on her way home. I said, send me that picture when you get home. And I bring it out every once in a while because the kids think it's hilarious. I'm about 2 and a half, wearing a little dress with little ruffly bloomers on. And my parents shoved me up onto the scariest, oversized, big-toothed white bunny, like the bunny of nightmares, like Watership Down meets the clown in It. That's what this thing looked like. And on that bunny's lap, I am screaming bloody murder to get me out of there. Now, at age 45, it's hilarious. But is it really such a good idea to be doing this to kids? Yes, it's a funny Christmas card. I mean, I'm torn because I don't think it's a good thing to do. But we all do it. We all did it.
When you took your kids to go see Santa, did you want them to cry? Because
no.
This guy, Rothman, is saying in his studio, parents bring their kids there to cry.
Yeah, they want the cry shot.
They want the crying kid on Santa's lap so that in 20 years from now, we can all sit around at dinner and, oh, look at you, Sally. You're bawling your eyes out.
Yeah.
That's funny. That's cute. You were having a fit on Santa's lap. What parent wants that? What maniacal, sadistic parent wants their kids crying on Santa's lap?
Did you do that?
Cry on Santa's lap?
No, make your girls go march up there and you...
We went to the mall a couple of times, but I never wanted them to cry. I would have been mortified if they were crying on Santa. I wanted them to be happy and say, you know, I want a Hello Kitty pillow and I want this and that. No, I never wanted my kids to cry. What kind of crazy lunatic wants their kid to cry? Seriously.
I agree with you.
Someone who wants a funny Christmas card.
I mean, you're a jerk. If you take your kid to see Santa with the sole purpose of getting your kid to cry on his lap.
You're a horrible parent.
You suck at being a parent. You're a horrible human being.
I would tend to agree with that.
And that's a fact. If you take your kid to go see the Easter Bunny, and you hope that that little buck-toothed bunny that's way oversized, 6-foot-tall bunny, and your whole point...
smells like mothballs.
...is to get that kid to cry on the Easter Bunny's lap so that you can have a picture in 20 years you can show around and go...
Now, let's be honest. I do think it takes a special human being to go to school to be one of Santa's helpers to fill that role. Because you're going to get tugged on, you're probably going to get peed on, you're going to get cried on.
Somebody says there's a TV station up in St. Joe right now asking parents to send in their kids crying on Santa lap photos.
Yeah.
What's wrong with this TV station up in St. Joe?
Because everyone's doing it, and then you think it's funny, and you're like, oh, look at my kid who's totally terrified and will now need therapy for the... Which I said to New Boss today, this is why I'm in therapy. That damn bunny.
That's why you're in therapy?
Yes.
That's the reason you're in therapy.
The Topeka... clown, scary, Watership Down, white albino rabbit dressed in a bow tie that they forced me to sit with.
That's the reason you're in therapy?
Yeah.
Oh, Dana.
You don't think there are perhaps any other reasons why you might be in therapy?
Well, Scott, but predominantly the bunny. It's a toss-up.
You don't think there are still more reasons why you might be in therapy?
No, I think it's the rabbit and Scott. That's it.
That's it?
That's my list.
The rabbit and me?
Yeah.
What have I done to put you in therapy?
I don't know. I don't know. Every day from 2 to 6? I'm kidding.
We have archives of every show.
It's not every day.
Oh, my word. What a horrible thing to say. I'm going to have to talk to my therapist now about that. James in Kansas City. Hello, James.
Hey, hello. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing well.
Hey, Dana, I love you most of the time, except I think you're wrong right now.
Okay.
The reason being is, you're right, we do teach our kids to be aware of strangers and not to sit on some weird guy's laps and things like that. But when they're 1 year old or 6 months old, they don't understand that yet.
Right.
What they're doing is just reacting to the fact that they're out of their parents' arms. You know, it's not a... I've been a photographer for a long time.
And oh.
I've done a lot of photo shoots. I used to work for a company that took pictures in Kmart's, you know, and I usually have a 2-hour waiting line of nothing but babies.
So it's the handoff that makes them cry.
Sometimes. I mean, if the child is used to going to other people, not a problem. But if it's those protective parents that don't let anybody hold their kids or play with their kids or talk to them or get them used to that, then you have the problem. Yeah, it's just the way they react to that, you know, the physical attraction, I guess.
Now, James, hang on just a second. Did you say you're a photographer?
Correct.
All right, and so you do shoot some of these kids on the Santa's lap photographs, is that correct?
I have, yes.
Have you ever run into a parent that wants their kid to cry?
Only lately, to be honest with you.
Only lately.
Here we go.
Yes. Yeah, only lately. I, you know, normally people want nice photos of their children, candid or posed or whatever, you know. And yeah, if you get that one that's crying, sometimes it's like, okay, we got to take this because we're not getting anything else.
No. What I'm asking is, do you have parents that come up to you as you're getting ready to put the kid on Santa's lap, and the parent says, "I want my kid to cry"?
Okay, I have not taken photos this year that people will do that. I have heard about it. None of the photos that I ever took in the past has anybody ever come up and asked me to have their kid cry.
Never one time have they said,
"Never,
I want my kid to cry."
Nope, never one time.
Okay.
Listen to this real quick from PopSugar.com. I know this is a terrible way, looking back, to treat my son. He trusts me completely. I am his mom. It's my job to protect him from anything bad, confusing, or hurtful. Yet, I was willing to let him scream and cry because of some silly holiday tradition. Tears streaming down his flushed cheeks, he kept reaching out for me to save him from the terrifying man he didn't know.
576-7798. 576-7798. Don't forget, this Friday, we are at 54th Street Grill and Bar in Lee's Summit. Our final live show of the year, 54th Street Grill and Bar in Lee's Summit, this Friday, Dana and Parks. Somebody writes in, Dana, when you sat on the Easter Bunny's lap, was it at Westlakes Mall in Topeka?
Yep.
She writes in, that was my husband.
In 1977?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that just got awkward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not my fault that rabbit costume is the stuff made of horror movies.
A lot of people are writing in... something about the Grinch. Maybe somebody can fill me in on this.
Yeah.
That the new thing nowadays is to get the Grinch, somebody dressed up like the Grinch behind your kid and have them just like freaking out, crying.
Why is anyone doing this?
For Christmas cards. For Christmas cards. For the, you know, the, hey, this is the rights. And look at us. You know, here we are, happy down in the Bahamas earlier this year before I got hit by a hurricane. And here's Susie, who is screaming bloody murder because the Grinch is behind her in another picture off to the side. That's what it's all about.
It's now entertaining to mentally scar our kids, it sounds like.
Man. But just with that stuff, if you said to any parent, Sam, I'm going to have you do something with your kid. It'll be so funny. It's going to scare the hell out of them. They're going to scream and cry and be completely traumatized, but you're going to get a huge kick out of it. Every single parent listening would go, are you insane?
I don't think that's true.
Of course I'm not going to do that. Why would I do that?
I don't think that's true.
Except with Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny things. Right. And then we do it. What do you mean you don't think that's true?
Well, I was waiting for, now that you added the addendum.
Yeah, it's just the one thing. But mm-hmm. if you said to them in any other arena of your life, okay?
We're going to put Chucky behind your kid.
Yeah.
Or
we're going to have a scary guy come up to the window and scare them when they're in their room.
Or I mean, Mike Myers from Halloween.
It'll be great. You would go, what?
I'm telling you. This is the new thing, apparently.
Oh.
Is to get your kid to cry on Santa's lap or the Easter Bunny's lap. So you can put that stupid picture on your Christmas card that you send out to your friends and family. Oh, look, here we are. We're beautiful. Look, there's a palm tree behind us. Oh, here's Susie crying on Santa's lap.
Hope your Christmas goes better than this.
Mm-hmm. That's what the story says.
My favorite Christmas photo of all time comes from one of my dear friends, Leanne, who lives in Texas now, okay? Her son at the time was playing football or soccer, I don't remember, and had a huge shiner on his eye. He was about 4 years old, which meant his older sister was probably seven, okay? So they go to do the deal at the mall, and one of them is on Santa's left knee, and one of them's on Santa's right knee, and her sweet little daughter in this beautiful velvet Christmas dress is looking straight ahead, Scott, and she is smiling and is so happy. The four-year-old... who was just a hellion at that point in his life, has a huge shiner on his left eye, and as they snap the photo, is grabbing his crotch. Now that is a great Christmas card.
That's pretty funny.
They resend it every year. They're like an oldie but goodie.
Ryan in Kansas City. Ryan, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well.
I was just saying, you know, maybe kids nowadays kind of need that. Just a little fear put in them early on. I mean, just like everybody else, there's always that good story. My brother locked me in the basement and forced me to watch The Exorcist when I was like four. And it haunted me for my entire life, but I'm still perfectly normal. At least I like to think I am. It's weird as anybody else, but maybe kids need it a little bit. I don't see what's so wrong with it.
From siblings, yes. From parents, I'm not so sure, Ryan. Because didn't we all do that to our siblings?
That's fair. That's fair.
Do you ever remember doing something to your brother that was just so mean looking back, Scott, that you're like, oh, wow, I shouldn't have done that?
Yes.
Because I do.
Yes.
I do. I pretended to be someone in the house upstairs when my brother was downstairs with three or four buddies. They were home alone. They were like 12 years old, 11 years old. And my girlfriend and I came in late and thought it would be funny to drop a shoe down the balcony so it would drop and make a noise. So we dropped a shoe, and I heard Austin go, what was that? Shh. Did you guys hear that? So we're upstairs giggling. We drop another shoe. And by then you can tell they're actually kind of freaked out. And he's like, where's your mom and dad? When are they coming back? And we're upstairs giggling. And then we start banging on the wall. You know, just bad, bad sibling behavior. Bad sibling behavior.
When I lived in a country that was not the United States.
Which country would that be?
I was at the International School of Dusseldorf.
Which is in?
Germany. And my buddy Ronnie Kirk and I my brother was in, I think, fifth grade at the time. And it was a K-12 school. And Ronnie's mother was my brother's teacher. So I think we were given a little bit of leeway here when we probably should have been suspended. We went into the classroom because we had free periods. I don't know if you guys did that over here, but 1 hour a day, we had a free period.
I had that my senior year.
Basically sat around and did nothing.
I was free to leave.
And Ronnie and I were bored, so we went into his mother's class, dragged my brother out of the class, and flushed his head down the toilet.
Scott!
Gave him a swirly.
Who gave him a swirly, that's right.
That is terrible.
And then we let him go back to class. His hair, his head and his hair were soaking wet.
Scott.
I'm not proud of it. You asked me if I ever did anything that was horrible to my brother, and I said yes. And I remember giving my brother a swirly.
How old was he?
He was in fifth grade.
No, at school? That's what makes it so bad. At home would be bad, but at school, so bad.
And then we made him go back to class with toilet water in his hair.
That is terrible.
I'm not proud.
Did you get in trouble?
No.
Was it at least clean toilet water?
Yes, it was clean.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't pee-filled or anything like that.
Okay.
But we both grabbed him by his legs, forced his head into the toilet, and then I flushed it. It was like waterboarding.
Oh, my God.
Did you just say that to try to justify it?
Right.
Because I think our stance on waterboarding is not exactly positive
anymore.
Well,
remind me, you're an only child, correct?
No.
You have a sister.
I do.
Did she ever put your head in a toilet?
No.
Do you ever want your head in a toilet?
What?
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.